I started looking at a couple of verses in Mark chapter 11, verse number 23. And this was the story of the disciples and Jesus as Jesus had entered with the disciples into Jerusalem. And this is the final just days of his life here on this earth in the flesh. And as he entered in, we had seen that he had spoken a curse upon the fig tree. And it starts in Mark chapter 11, verse number 20. This is the next morning. It says, the next morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto his master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered, saying unto them, and here's what we looked at yesterday. I'm sorry, Monday. Have faith in God. For verily I say to you that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So this is Jesus saying to them two things. First of all, got to have faith. Second thing is remove the doubt. So we talked about that on Monday. It's a two-part equation. Have faith. We talked about we do have faith. That faith has been invested. The faith of Jesus Christ has been invested in you as a follower, as a believer in him. You have all the faith that you need. Now, we have to choose to operate in that faith, and we have to utilize that faith. We can strengthen our faith, but you have all the faith that you need. So Jesus goes on to say that, verily I say unto you, that if you, anyone would say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt. So this is the second key. This is the second part of the equation. We have to operate in faith, but we also have to remove the doubts. He said, if you say, if you speak the word, if you speak something, and you don't doubt, that's the key, you don't doubt, then it shall be done. So the question that we then have as we consider that, all right, so whatever you might be facing, how many times have you faced a situation and you've looked to the word and you've put your confidence and your hope and your faith in the word? And perhaps you've even gone to the length, which is wise, to even speak that word over your situation and speak the promises of God over your situation, even though your situation at that moment seems contrary to what the promise is. And how many times have you done that and then been frustrated because you didn't see those things come to pass? Well, this is the second part of what Jesus was talking about. We have to have faith, but we also have to remove those doubts, get rid of all those doubts that are there. And it seems to me, and it seems to probably all of us, how in the world do I go about eliminating doubts? How do I eliminate doubts? Well, one of the first things is we spend time in the Word. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we build up our faith by, we strengthen our faith by spending time in the Word. Now, likewise, if we know that's true, we spend time in the Word, we spend time focusing on the Word, reading the Word. When we read the Word and we hear the Word, it builds up, it strengthens our faith. By the same token, if I listen to the lies of the enemy, if I go to his playbook, if I go to his Word, if I turn from God's Word and I spend more time in his Word, and I do it by being in his Word when I hear all the negatives, all the lies, all the propaganda that the world, if I hear the things of the flesh, and I listen to the things of the flesh, and I listen and I focus on all the bad news, if I focus on all the doubts, if I focus on all the things that are being spoken from things I listen to in the news or the reports of people that I know or just the negatives that surround us in this world, I'm listening, if you will, to the Word, because all that negative, all those lies, all those deceptions, all of those things that are words that are spoken that are contrary to the Word, that's the word of the devil. So if I listen to the Word of God, if I hear the Word of God, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. If I listen to the Word of God and I hear the Word of God, my faith is built. By the same token, if I listen to the words of the enemy, if I listen to the words of the deceiver, and those words are present and around you all the time, sometimes we're even speaking those words ourselves. Anything that is spoken that is contrary to the promises of God, anything that's spoken that is contrary to this, which is here in the book, because this is Jesus Christ, anything that's spoken that's contrary, those are words that I'm listening to that are the words of the enemy. And in the same way that if I listen to the Word of God, my faith is strengthened. If I listen to the words of my enemy, guess what? Faith comes by hearing the word, by hearing and hearing and hearing the word. Doubts come by hearing the word of my enemy. Doubts uncertainty, speculation, fear. All of these things come when I listen to the words of the enemy. So whom am I listening to today? Whose word am I hearing? Am I hearing God's word, or am I hearing the words of the enemy, which are surrounding me? I've got to be able to eliminate those things. Now, I understand we live in this world. You're not going to be able to, you know, put yourself in sequester so that you're untouched by all the negatives of the world. That's not going to happen. But I can choose to remove myself from a lot of those situations. I can choose to remove myself from the situations where I hear a lot of those negative things. I can counter those negative things when I hear them by speaking things that are contrary, by speaking the things of the Word of God. There's things that I can do. And a lot of times we feel like it's a hopeless situation. How in the world can I eliminate the doubts? It feels hopeless. It's not hopeless. As in all things, Jesus does give us. He gives us, and he tells us through Paul. Jesus gives us the answer. He tells us how to do these things. If we look ahead to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to look at verses number 4 and 5. Well, let's just even start from the beginning of chapter 10. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with the confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Let me read that from the Amplified Bible because it gives you a better understanding of what Paul's actually saying here. Now I myself, Paul, beseech you by the gentleness and consideration of Christ himself, I, whom am lonely, so they say, when among you face to face, but bold, fearless, and outspoken to you when I am absent from you. I entreat you, when I do come to you, that I may not be driven to such boldness as I intend to show to those few who suspect us of acting according to the flesh or on the low level of the worldly motives, and as if invested with only human powers. Paul is saying, listen, people criticize me because they say that I'm really bold and outspoken when I'm away from you in writing, but I'm not that way, and I'm not that way when I'm with you in person. And what he's saying is, you know what, don't be amongst those, because I am going to be bold in person, and I'm going to be bold to those people. They will hear the truth of Jesus Christ coming from my lips. Those people who say and try to put upon me that I'm only operating in the world's power and only operating in the flesh and only being carnal and thinking about myself, I got bold words for them. They're going to hear those words when I'm there. They say I'm not bold, they're going to hear those bold words, and they're going to be targeted towards them. But then he goes on to say, for though we walk and live in the flesh, we are not carrying on the warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. So this is where Paul starts to talk about the things that we're discussing this morning. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So I strengthen and increase my faith. And remember, Jesus in Mark chapter 11, there's two parts to seeing those victories. To seeing the things, to seeing the supernatural take place. When Jesus spoke that curse upon that fig tree, it withered and it died. That's the power of the spoken word. That's the power that you have in Jesus Christ to change the dynamics of what's going on in this natural physical realm. To change the dynamics so that the things of the spiritual realm, those things that are of the greater reality, those things of the spiritual realm, come down and displace or replace those things that are here in the spiritual. That we bring the kingdom of God, we bring that kingdom, all those promises and all those good things, we bring the kingdom here into this physical, natural world that we live in. That's what Jesus demonstrated. And then when he said to the disciples, when Peter was astonished by that and pointed it out, he said to the disciples, have faith. You got to have faith. But then he also said, you also must not doubt. And so if we look and we say that, okay, to have faith is to, we build and stir up our faith and build it by hearing the word of God. And then I build up my doubts and my unbeliefs by hearing the word of the enemy. So I need to alleviate those things. Now, this is what Paul then is addressing here in 2 Corinthians, because he goes on and he says in verse number 3, for though we walk in the flesh, not carrying our weapons according to the flesh, not carrying on our weapons according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. See, this is Paul saying, listen, you have the power and the authority. It's not in your natural abilities, but you have the power and the authority in Jesus Christ. You have spiritual weapons at your disposal to bring about these changes that we're talking about. To be able to conquer, to remove those words, those things, the words of the enemy, those things that would build our doubts and counterweight that balance with the faith on one side and the doubts on the other. I want that balance weighted towards the faith side. But if I have too many doubts, it's counterbalanced towards the doubt side. Paul's saying we can remove those doubts off of that scale and counterbalance it back again to a, so it's weighted again towards that faith side where we see those things that Jesus demonstrated and said are for you and I to change the situations, to change the natural circumstances that you're enduring and going through right now, so that those things of the natural, which are the less, it's not the greater, the greater reality is the things of the spiritual. So we change those things that are the lesser, the things, the circumstances that we're living in right now, by bringing in those spiritual realities from the kingdom of God. And we do that by the words that we speak, words spoken with faith and not with doubt. And here's how Paul says, we do that because we have the weapons to do it. Here's the weapons. For our weapons of our warfare are not physical, weapons of flesh and blood. It takes the pressure off you and I. It doesn't have to be me. It's not up to my skill. It's not up to my ability. It's not up to whatever I might possess of myself. It's not up to me. I'm no better than you or anyone else. We all have the same, it's not up to the individual. We all have, if you will, it's not up to that individual's skill set. We all have what is required through Jesus Christ. Because it's not the things of our abilities. It's not because someone is smarter or more gifted. It's not because of those things. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and the destruction of strongholds. Goes on in verse number 5. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. Let me read that from the King James. It says, casting down, because we're familiar with these words from the King James. These are the weapons that we have. We have the weapons that are not of this world. It's the spiritual weapons. It's not the physical weapons. It's the things that come from Jesus Christ. It's the power and the authority that is invested in you because you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and that authority is invested in you. Because of that which is invested in you, we have the ability of casting down imaginations. Okay, that means all those things that my mind starts to think. If I'm listening to the news and I hear the words that bring doubt and uncertainty, if I go to the doctor and I hear words that bring doubt and uncertainty, if I'm living my life and I'm surrounded by people who are doubting the promises of God and saying things that bring doubt and uncertainty in my life, I can cast those things down where my imagination might start going towards those things, where my imagination might start leaning towards those things I hear them saying. I can cast those things down. I have the ability to do that in Jesus Christ. I can remove those doubts and those uncertainties that counterbalance that scale and weight it towards the doubt, which is not where I'm going to find success. I can remove, cast down those imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that says, if you listen to someone else, if the doctor has told you a report that is contrary to the Word of God, certainly that stirs uncertainty and doubt. When someone says, this bad thing is taking place in your body, your imagination starts to run. And your imagination starts to see the end result. And your imagination starts to see what other people have experienced in their lives, and those doubts start to climb. But you can remove those doubts. It's not according to your skill or your ability. Again, the pressure is not on you. It's just you and I being able to say, in the authority of Jesus' name, I cast down those thoughts. I remove those imaginations. And anything that exalts itself against this which is the Word, this which is a promise to me, I can remove those things. I can bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Now, we've heard these words, and we've read these words before, but I don't think we stop to realize and contemplate and decide how we can apply those words to our life to bring about the victorious result that we're looking for. If I read the rest of that, verse number 5 from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if I read the rest of that from the Amplified Bible, and to lead every thought and purpose away captive into obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Verse number 6 goes on in King James to say, and having in the readiness to revenge all disobedience when your disobedience is fulfilled. You know, this is talking about having the ability in Jesus Christ to be able to take those things which are contrary to the Word and remove them. Take those thoughts, those imaginations, and remove them. So Jesus said, you have that same power. Peter saw that the fig tree was withered. He saw something supernatural. No one poisoned it. It was the mere words of Jesus Christ. When he spoke a curse upon that tree, it died. It withered at the roots. Peter pointed that out. Jesus said, yep, that's the authority and the power that comes. This is the authority and the power that is in me and in my name. And we know from later that Jesus gave and invested that into all of us. That same power is in us. And that's why he taught them and said two things, have faith and don't doubt. Well, three things. Two that I'm really looking at today. But he said, have faith, speak those words of faith, and don't doubt. So we have to have faith, but we also have to be able to speak in words, but also we have to remove those doubts. And we say to ourselves, nobody teaches us how to remove those doubts. You can say, and this is how I'm going to close today, when you have thoughts of doubt rising up in your mind, when you have those thoughts of fear and those thoughts of uncertainty rising up, recognize that those are the words of the devil. That's the words of your enemy being spoken to you. And you don't want to dwell on those things, and you don't want those your mind to be imagining those things, because those are the lies of the devil, the lies of the one who wants to kill, steal, and destroy, who wants to take from you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. I grow in my faith. My faith is grown and strengthened by hearing the Word. But my doubts and uncertainty grow and are strengthened by hearing the Word of my adversary. So when I hear those words, and here's the point, I can cast down all those thoughts, all those imaginations. I can make them captive. I can say, and it's this simple, I can say, I give no place to those thoughts in Jesus' name. I give no place to those thoughts in Jesus' name. And you take captive those thoughts, and those thoughts will not dwell in your mind. The peace of Jesus Christ comes when you say those words. And it seems like it's too simple, and you say it can't work that way. Try it. Do it. I do it. I've done it multiple times. Many, 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 many times. Take captive those words, which are the words of your enemy, meant to inspire doubt and uncertainty in you, which brings you to the place of being bound in these things of this natural world, when instead we want to see the supernatural. We want to see those things, that power and the authority of Jesus Christ in our lives. On that balance, on that scale today, you've got the faith and you have the unbelief and the doubts. Which side is it weighted on? We need to weight it towards that faith side. You have all the faith you need, but we need to remove those doubts. We remove those doubts by doing exactly what Paul said in 2 Corinthians. We cast down those imaginations.